Hey guys, welcome to Sled Talk. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I would like to take a second of your time and introduce this season's title sponsor is Bikeman Performance. So they've decided to jump on board and help push the podcast. And if you're unaware, Bikeman is the elite level when it comes to aftermarket performance parts on your sled. So be sure to check out their site, link in the description. And without further ado, let's jump into the show.
Let the band play.
100K on the Patek Philippe, living life with no regrets. I can't designer when I get dressed. Hey. Summertime on winter fresh. Fresh. I put her legs behind her head. Oof. Night night she gonna bed. Bye bye. Every day it's a new test. I just keep chasing these checks. Living life with no regrets. Living life with no regrets. Living life with no regrets.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in, whether you're listening on the podcast platforms or you are on our YouTube channel watching us. Again, appreciate you guys being here. So if you are watching this, you can tell that we are in a little bit different of a setup, no longer in the office studio. We are currently here in Albany Lodge over in Wyoming and have a couple guests, returning guests. David, owner of Albany Lodge, welcome back on. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
And the new guest, Kira.
Hey.
Welcome on. How are you?
Good. Happy to be here.
Good. I'm glad you guys are here. So let's just jump right into it. So Kira, I will let you kind of take the reins on, you know, before we jumped on, we were kind of talking about the flow and introduction and stuff. So why don't you give the listeners and viewers and myself a little bit of a backstory from, you know, who you are, introduction to yourself, where you're from, what you do, all that good stuff.
Sure. Yeah. My name's Kira. I'm originally from California, the northern part, I should say. I grew up in a suburban area where quite literally nothing ever happened. And if somebody fell off their bike, it was in the paper kind of a thing. Mm. I went to school up there. I went to college at Chico State. And I fell in love with the idea of going into the USDA.
Okay.
So I ended up getting a job right out of college in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Of all
working
places.
For the USDA. Yeah. Okay. And before I moved out there, I had a huge loss in my family, and I feel like that was kind of an escape, too. So I picked the furthest one I could, and that ended up being Wyoming. And every weekend, we went out and did stuff, and we had time off, and I slowly fell in love with the state.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I ended up started working for the state tourism office and trying to get people to experience what I was experiencing.
Okay.
And then I found myself working now for Visit Laramie, the Albany County Tourism Board, as the Strategic Partnerships Manager. So
nice.
Happy where I landed, for sure.
Nice. Okay. So you live in Laramie then, too?
I live in between Cheyenne and Laramie in a place called Granite Canyon, where it's windy but beautiful and it's stunning.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Right by Vita Vu.
So, this Visit Laramie, is this what led to the introduction between the two of you, or how did you guys meet?
Yeah, very much so. So, I'm actually the chairman of the board for the Albany County Tourism, and when I met Kara for the very first time, she actually came in and she was working for the state, and that's where we made our first acquaintance. And then we got lucky and was able to snag her and bring her on board.
There you go. So, let's go into that. Like, what all does that entail? What does that look like?
For the Albany County Tourism?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So essentially, Albany County Tourism, their primary purpose is to drive traffic into Albany County holistically. So not just Albany, but Albany County itself, which covers Laramie and the University of Wyoming and all the small communities in and around this area, and really kind of just doing an outreach to people away from Wyoming or even in Wyoming to say, hey, look at this great area within Wyoming. Everybody's original thought process is, oh, okay, well, it's Yellowstone. That's where we need to go.
Sure.
We need to go to the Tetons. But you have this massive, you know, snowy mountain range here. And for snowmobilers, they know it is the best ever, some of the best snow that there is in the country. And you're able to see what this community and what this county really has to offer. And so it is a volunteer position. It takes up a lot of time.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I understand.
But it's really about helping drive traffic and marketing to really kind of tell people, look at this great area within the state of Wyoming that a lot of people just happen to just drive right by and never stop. And for you, this is your first time here and seeing this, you can see the beauty of what this has to offer. And so our job is to really kind of just say, hey, take a look at what we have to offer.
Mm-hmm. What's the most challenging part of that? Is it capturing it and being able to showcase that stuff to a demographic of people, or what's the most challenging aspect of
it? I think it's a mixture of both, right? So I think you have a group of people that literally just drive by and not think anything about it. And so it's about marketing to them prior to their making that drive into Yellowstone. Right. And I think the other part is really kind of just the outreach and what we do and how we actually say it. And there's so many different demographics that drive through this area mm-hmm. or that actually come to this area. It's finding those individuals and finding the right media that can actually talk to them.
Yeah.
That's
the speaking their language.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why you're here.
Yeah. 100%. Absolutely. So take us through, Kira, your like day-to-day operations with that involvement of...
Yeah, sure. So when I initially started, I was working a lot at the front desk. So I was kind of hands-on, boots on the ground, getting the visitors in. And a lot of times they were coming in saying, hey, I'm here for X amount of time. What can I do? So a lot of what I was doing was trying to show them what this area, Albany County, has. Mm-hmm. Of course, I would talk about the scenic byway, the historic territorial prison, Albany Lodge, places to go, things to do, and a lot of outdoor rec opportunities. So that was kind of the beginning stages, and it kind of formed into this me working more with partners. When I say partners, I mean business owners like David and other people around Albany County, and I work with them as a partnership opportunity to get them out there, market them better, and help them out as much as we can. And also just work together to showcase Albany County as a whole. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm doing a lot with the direct businesses.
Okay, mm-hmm. Nice. We'll talk about the lodge in a little bit. But so outside of Albany Lodge, what's for you, each of you personally, like what is your favorite outdoor recreational activity within the county that you guys...
So do you want summer or do you want winter?
I was going to ask.
I should have known. Let's do both.
Yeah. I think for me in the summer, I love grabbing one of our UTVs, going up and over the top of the mountain and going fly fishing in the North Platte.
Oof. That's tough to beat. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, when you get down there, the scenery that you see, the wildlife that you go through there and the fishing, I mean, it's blue ribbon fly fishing, the North Platte is. And it's just, once you hook into one of those brown trout, That's the creme de la creme right there.
Yeah, got it. And winter?
Snowmobiling. I mean, come on, really? I mean, you really had to ask that question of me?
I mean, this is a snowmobiling podcast, so.
There's nothing better than being able to jump on a sled, and that's the advantages of being in the owner here, you know? Yep. The sleds go out, and all of a sudden, oh, well, look, there's a brand new Chaos sitting right there. Mm. It's only got 20 miles on it.
Yeah.
I think I need to break it in a little bit more, you know? And you hop on and you go play for a half a day and you come back and you get undressed and you go to work. So for me, it's the snowmobiling. I mean, it's just, it's so unbelievably awesome up here. Mm-hmm. We had 486 inches of snow this past
winter. That's what you were saying.
It was hero snow. It was just epic powder everywhere. Yep. And it was just unbelievable the amount of snow we had. So it was a great year. Very enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll get to you in a second. No. I want to go a little bit deeper on that. So, specifically with the lodge here and an amazing snow year and that much snow, what's kind of like your average client that's coming to come ride here? Is it a lot of people within Wyoming? Is it people that are traveling really far out of state to come right here? What's like the demographic?
Yeah, so we'll get the locals that will drive up and just be dayers. So sure. They'll grab a beer here or something. This mm-hmm. is a launching point, so the trails, it's right in, right out for the lodge.
Okay. Yeah.
So you don't have to trailer. Once you trailer in here, that's it. You stop, you're done. So locals will come in, park across the street. They'll jump in and actually just take off in their snow machines, go ride all day long, come back, grab dinner, load up their machines, and go back home. The majority of our customers, 60% of them, come from the Midwest.
Yeah,
and this is one of the first places that they actually can get to. And again, the snow is epic every year. Even in a bad snow year, it's better than anybody else's.
Sure.
And they come here and they'll stay here 4 or 5 days and they'll go out and literally ride every day. So once they unload their machines or rent machines from us, everything's ride in, ride out. They ride out of here, get on the trail, and they start finding meadows somewhere.
Nice. And so once those people that are coming maybe for the first time, what are you seeing for repeat clients? Like people coming back because they get here and they're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, they continue to come back.
Okay.
So if you're not booking 6 months to a year in advance, you're not getting in.
Wow. Wow.
So 14 cabins, 9 hotel rooms, and once they start doing it, obviously, they just keep coming back. Yeah. We've even had people, believe it or not, we have a customer that came here for the very first time 4 years ago from Florida, Miami.
Wow.
Was here in the summer, convinced them they need to come back in the winter. They came back in the winter. They've been back twice every winter since then.
Wow.
And they're from Florida.
Awesome. Yeah.
They don't get any snow.
Yeah.
They don't have any gear.
Yeah.
But they come back literally every single year, at least 2 times, and they're bringing new people in. So they're actually bringing people into the sport that has never been in the sport before.
That's
just because of what they experienced up
there. Nice. That's exciting. So, Kira, to you, same question with winter and summer. What are your
top activities? I love fishing. I got to be with David on that. I can't fly fish. I'm a little bobber kind of gal, but I love fishing up here.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And my husband, that's how he got me, you guys, was he showed me UTVs for the first time, took me up the mountain. I got to see the moose and all the wildlife up there. Took me to, of course, our secret fishing spot.
Oh, yeah.
And just fell in love with it. I love, love, love fishing up here in the summer.
Mm.
Yeah, there's no comparison.
Sure, sure.
Winter, I am sorry to copy you, David, but it is snowmobiling because I grew up in California, and yeah, I can go to Tahoe and stuff, but
sure.
I never got the snow like we get up here, and it's totally open and free. You can go wherever you want. It's amazing, and of course, my husband raced rimshaw, so he was able to kind of show me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still on a mountain max, but
hey, that's all
right. Yeah, no, I love it. I really, really love it. It's pretty gorgeous up here.
Yeah. So going in on that a little bit, talk about the beginning of your introduction to snowmobiling. How were you introduced to it? When did it start and how did it become?
So my family is like, they bleed blue. They're all Yamaha through and through. Cousins were on the Yamaha race team. My husband was on the Yamaha race team. And when we were dating, he took me into his parents' barn. They've got this big poster of somebody snowmobiling up Jackson Hole Mountain, you know, doing the hill climb. And I was like, oh, cool. What magazine is that from? They're like, that's Colton. That's your husband. I was like, what? Well, at the time, boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I was shocked. And he was like, yeah, have you ever done it before? He was trying to ask me all these questions. And I'm like, no, I've surfed.
Close.
And he was like, no, this is totally different. And when he took me out, it was that next winter, I went with the whole family. And that was really cool. The entire family does it together. The mom, the dad, the siblings, the siblings' significant others. You know, everyone was out there. And initially we were doing trail rides up here, but you don't have to stay on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I kind of got, you know, good enough, comfortable enough.
Got the confidence.
They started taking me off the trail and going through the trees. And yeah, that's kind of how it grew. And that love has obviously grown.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been incredible being able to not only go with family and friends, but then meet people like David who are kind of pushing the sport because it's so fun. Even for the new people that haven't done it before, you know, getting on it for a first time, it's so fun.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think it's exciting, too, that you're out here doing all of these things that directly correlate with your job, too.
Right. Right.
And so, like, it's got to be a lot easier for you to be able to express to new people, other people in Wyoming that are unaware or out-of-staters, you know, for you to, like, literally, like, speak through the heart to these types of people to come do these types of activities because you are obsessed with it yourself. And
definitely.
So that's a...
Absolutely. Sure. And to touch on your guys' point, people think when they think of Wyoming, they think of Yellowstone, they think of Grand Teton. There's so much more to the state than just that. And I feel like getting these boots on the ground and being able to talk to the visitors, we have a direct impact on what they're going to see and what they're going to experience. And the moment they see this place and the mountains here, they'll come back.
Yeah. You had mentioned a prison or a museum?
The Territorial Prison. It's a state historic site. It's in Laramie. That is a huge, huge place for history buffs, too.
Okay.
It's the one penitentiary that housed Butch Cassidy from the Wild Bunch Gang.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. So they got a whole museum about it. It's a walking tour. So you get to walk through on your own. You get a little card that has actually a prisoner's picture that was there. And you get to kind of walk around and see what they experienced and check out the museum. It's really cool.
Hmm. How far is that from right here?
Literally from doorstep to doorstep, less than 32 miles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So you're okay. Literally in Laramie. When you get into Laramie, you're literally cutting off. And when you cut off to head up here to the lodge, the prison's sitting right there.
Wow. That's interesting. Huh. Do you know, like, when it started and when it ended? Or
I'm rusty. I'm rusty on the years. I know it was curious. An 1800s
thing. Wow, as chairman of the board, I'm really kind of concerned here that you know, one of our tourism people.
Yeah, I'm rusty on the years. I know, I mean, this is when they were having them make brooms, yeah. Right, as a job.
I want to say it's 1824, if I'm not mistaken.
I said 1800s, David. I had it.
Yeah, there's a wide 100-year gap in there somewhere, but
yeah, I believe it was 1824 when it was actually opened up, and so at that point in time, you know, Wyoming was the Wild West.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
There was, I mean, the gunfights, everybody coming in from Kansas and those different places as they were exploring out here. There was cattle rustling going on, and that's really what the prison was for. That's what it was about.
That's gotcha. Right.
And I think the key thing is when you think about it, when they say territory, a territory prison was huge, and it would. At that point in stage, it would encompass a large portion of the entire state of Wyoming. It wasn't just a small little segment of, Albany County. It was a territory, and those territories were massive. And so you would send the sheriffs out and the marshals, and they would go out and collect these prisoners or these outlaws and bring them back to this territory prison. So there's a lot of history there. It's very, very unique.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. So earlier when we were outside, you were kind of talking about taking us up to a spot that was a little mine camp.
And the Queen Mine.
So is there a lot of like historical stuff with a lot of mining stuff around here that's visitation stuff?
There is a ton of stuff. On the mountain itself, as you're getting up in there, there's old towns that used to be, and unfortunately we had a fire 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There was a town that the Forest Service actually gave us permission to actually take guided tours back into, and there was 13 buildings that were in there, still had the sod roofs on it, the troughs for the horses, and unfortunately when the fire came through, it actually burned all that history down. There used to be an old hotel that set into what we call Lake Creek.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hope you're enjoying the show so far. Just want to take a quick second to introduce another one of this year's sponsors. We got RSI. So whether you need handlebars or grips, seat covers, controls, etc., doesn't matter. Use Sledson 2023 at checkout for 15% off your next order.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, great snowmobile in Lake Creek.
Right? Okay.
Big, huge meadows, lots of powder. Nice. Nobody ever goes there.
Got it.
Just delete that part of
Yeah.
But there was an old two-story hotel there, and it serviced the railroad. It serviced the miners that in the area, serviced the loggers, and it was a brothel. It was a whorehouse.
Yeah.
And so the history behind it, you literally, and it was built so well, and actually the railroad workers that went through there would actually bring in some of the railroad ties and rebuild part of the building as the wood got bad, just to keep it as a brothel there for a long period of time, because they were right, essentially building a railroad from Laramie all the way up over the top of the mountain, and it was eventually going to end up in Walden, and then Walden into Denver itself.
Okay.
Railroad never made it, but the railroad workers wanted that brothel there, so as old pieces of wood would go down, they would bring in railroad ties. And so when the fire came through, it burned everything down. And so now the only thing that's left is an old Model T Ford.
Hmm.
Well, just the frame. So you can see it. You can know where it's at. But to be able to, when it's still there before the fire, you could literally walk all the way through the entire building. And it was really cool to know the history behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. What were they most commonly mining for?
Gold.
Gold?
Gold, platinum, palladium. It's really heavily mineraled through here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's mine sites everywhere. A little town called Keystone used to be a World War II prisoner of war camp.
Really?
So they would bring, that's why we have such a big German population in and around this area. So they bring the nonviolent or non-threatening prisoners up into this area, and they would put them into Keystone, and they made them work on the railroad. And so they were doing that kind of stuff, and some of those buildings are still there. Matter of fact, there's one building in there that used to be the nurse's office, and I had the privilege of being able to go in, and you could open up the Cardex, which was the old Dewey Decimal System. You know, if you're my age, you know what that is. I know you two wouldn't understand that part, but it used to be when you go into a library, you'd pull out this big drawer, and in there you would go alphabetically, and in there would be these little index cards. And on index cards, if you had a broken bone or a broken femur, the nurse could actually go into femur under the F thing and pull it up, and here's the notes of what she needed to do to actually fix the broken leg.
Oh, geez. Wow.
And so that was still there today. Literally, I think 3 years ago, we did a chili cook-off that I was a judge on. And so the family who owns it took me in and showed me everything that was still there from the nurse's office, which was just epic. It literally was just unbelievable, that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of history in and around the area. There's a lot of old mines in and around the area. Mm-hmm. Some of the mines have some just really unique history to them as well.
Yeah. Hmm. That's interesting. Kira, let's talk a little bit specifically about like what the town of Laramie has to offer.
Oh, of course. So downtown Laramie, it's a different feel than I think what some people from the big cities coming through are expecting. Mm-hmm. There's not like a Target, right? It's kind of more mom and pop shops. Yes. And that I think is a whole other lure, and there's magic in that. Mm-hmm. You go in and there's the Sugar Mouse Cupcake House. She's from London, and some of her proceeds go to help children in Cambodia with human trafficking. Mm-hmm. She's incredible. She's right next door to the Women's History House, which is a museum about the women's history here in Wyoming. Lots of amazing, amazing stuff about that here in Wyoming. Mm-hmm. We had Louisa Swain. She was the first woman voter with the same rights as men here in the United States. So that was really incredible. There's a statue of her right outside. There's the leather shop called The Range. I'm wearing their hat right now. It's very, very used. Mm-hmm. I love it. But you can go in there and they actually make the leather items in front of you. You can watch and see how they're doing it. There's all sorts of stuff in there, bags, wallets, belts. It's incredible. We have like the Martindale's Western store. So for those people who want to come through and look for kind of the Western lore, that's definitely there. And I mean, there's all sorts of stuff down. There's so many to even list.
Sure. You got Bond's Brewery, who won world.
Yes.
Brewing there. And we have their beer here on tap. We were actually, they're one of their first retail. Actually, we were their first retail customer to actually be able to pour beer for them. Wow. And Jay and Mallory Bond they're just a great couple, young. They're in their early 30s. But boy, does he ever make a good beer. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Their beers are just stellar. So he's got a distillery right there. He's now starting to get it across the U.S. in different areas. And just amazing stuff. Yeah. You start looking around the town, and you start getting through to a lot of these small ma-and-pa shops and the food. We had Guy Ferrari come in, and he did three different restaurants here for, what is it?
Six.
Oh, it did six.
There
were
six, including a food truck.
Yeah.
Double Dove's Wings. Yeah, wow. that's incredible.
Some really good food down there, so very unique. And it's not chain restaurants. They're all mom-and-pop restaurants. So
that's the best.
And they just kick out some really good food. So you're never lacking in anything that you do when you go down there. The food is good. The shops are really good. And, you know, anybody who likes the outdoors, they come up in this area, they're going to get a treat.
Yeah. Because Laramie is only how far from the lodge? Literally right here?
32 miles.
Okay.
So it's a 30-minute drive, 30, 35-minute drive from right here at the lodge.
That's not bad at all.
No.
To be in this country. Okay. Jeff, are we okay on time?
Everything?
Okay. Is there anything with your guys' involvement with all this tourism stuff that maybe I'm obviously unaware of, and so I lack stock of knowledge on maybe certain questions, but do you think that there's some things that we should highlight for the listeners and viewers that is worth them knowing that maybe we haven't already touched on?
It took us too long to get you here.
I know. We wanted to come this winter, but we couldn't make it happen.
Yeah, I think the big thing for the listeners as they start going through this, you know, when they look on the map, they'll see Albany sitting there, and they'll look at the lodge, and they'll see Laramie, and they're like, oh, well, you know, it's out in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. How do I even get there? You could fly into Denver and be here in the lodge in 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yep. Wow. Okay.
And that's bad traffic. Bad. That's everything. And you're literally on interstate the majority of the way. So you're in a car and you're here. Matter of fact, we were, you know, talking about the guys from Florida. That's exactly what they do. They don't drive. Mm-hmm. They fly into Denver. They rent a vehicle and they drive up here. And in 2 hours and 45 minutes, they're here. Yeah. And literally when they get here, they usually plan their trip in enough time to get here, get in a machine and go ride somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they come back and then they'll eat and unpack and do all that kind of stuff. So I think for most people, we're very accessible. Mm-hmm. And I think most people don't realize that it's actually here. Even the folks that are driving up into Jackson Hole in that area. They literally drive by and don't realize how good of an area this really is. And so I think that's the big thing that the listeners need to look at, is that there's a lot of stuff in and around this area.
Yep.
Just stop. And once you stop, I guarantee you, you don't go back. We have a lot of people that go up to Togedy and stuff like that, that literally stop going to Togedy just because the riding is better here and service is better here and they've got more to do and they're not so packed in and crowded up like Togedy is.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to go pretty far into that on another episode tomorrow. After we, you know, dissect and being here this whole weekend and getting to check all of it out. And, you know, you were on last season at Hay Days and shared a ton. But then now being here this weekend, we get to go do the stuff. Yeah. So we'll go pretty deep on a lot of that stuff tomorrow.
Sweet.
As well. Was there anything else that you wanted to share?
I think making a note that Highway 130, granted, I know it's closed sometimes, especially during the winter. But Highway 130 is a scenic byway. It's a Snowy Range scenic byway. Even if you were going to, hey, you know, I've rode today or rode UTVs today, I kind of want to go check out, see the forest.
Mm-hmm.
It's stunning. You can drive all the way through. It's gorgeous, and it does not take very long to get through. It's like 35 minutes to get all the way to the end of that.
Yeah. So. And it's a national scenic byway. It's just not a Wyoming scenic byway. Mm-hmm. It is a national scenic byway. And when you get up there and you start looking at Mirror Lake, and rightfully named, when you look at it, you're literally, you'll see pictures around the lodge here that literally you can't tell what is the lake and what is the actual mountain itself when you're looking at the picture of the way the reflection is. It is literally stunningly gorgeous. Water being so crystal clear. Anybody who lives in the Midwest or in that area, your water's muddy, you're brown. This water is so perfectly clear and so pure coming off the mountains at this elevation that it's just awe-inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Fishing too.
Great fishing. great fishing.
Nice.
Yeah, and we got the wildlife here. I mean, you have bear, you have moose, you have elk. We have new pack of wolves that has slowly migrated down from Yellowstone down to this area.
Mm.
So it's a pack of 13, and then there's a alpha female and an alpha male that still have not met up yet. They're just kind of roaming around. They broke away from the pack, and the biologists in and around the area think they're going to actually meet up and start a whole other pack right here in this area.
Interesting.
So you get it just about any type of wildlife. We have a lot of people that come up and say, I want to go see a moose, and you go, or a moose. Moose? You know what a moose is, right?
I don't know if I've ever seen one of those before.
Only in Wyoming.
It's Bullwinkle's friend. but they want to see a moose for the very first time. Yep. And you, literally being up here and you know where everything's at, you let it go, okay, well, you take this trail here, and when you get to this spot, just stop.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're going to be right there in that area. Or if you want to see the bighorn sheep, okay, hey, you head over to the North Platte, stop. They're right here in this area. Elk are a little harder to find in the summertime, but the wildlife here is just so abundant. You can't go up on the mountain without seeing a bunch of wildlife.
Yeah.
That's true. And I do want to say, too, just coming from a very big state that's really populated, one of the incredible things about this mountain range, there's very few places, I would say, in the world where you can go in the middle of the forest and not hear anybody else. Yeah. And that is one of the magical points of this place. I mean... Sure. All you hear is the forest, and that's hard to find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So with all the wildlife and stuff, do you guys actually do outfitting for hunters
too? Yeah, or? We sure do. So we've got a partnership with Free Flow, which is a guide service that we now run out of here. We have our outfitters and guides license for the Medicine Bow National Forest, which, by the way, size-wise is over 2 million acres. So it's huge.
Yeah.
So we now have that guide service. So we're able to take people both for hunting as well as for fishing anywhere within the Medicine Bow National Forest. And a great guide. We've had people, he pulled out a 22-inch brown the other day, which was it was massive.
Wow.
They rented a machine. We take him up in the machine, got him up into some of the creeks in some of the area, and they actually walked out with 12 fish.
Wow.
So
that's exciting.
It was well worth it. They had a good time.
Sure.
Matter of fact, he had such a good time. He stayed the next day, rented a machine another day, and took back off on the mountain to go take his wife up there. So
that's so cool. There's just, you have so many options of so many different things right here.
Exactly. Yeah, so the hunting and fishing is there, as well as guide service on the machines. If somebody doesn't want to go hunting or fishing, we can get them up on the mountain, let them see what they want to see.
Yeah. Wow. That's exciting. Okay. So for all of the listeners and viewers that maybe want to find some more information, about everything that we just discussed, you guys have a website to where do we need to send their
attention?
Visit
laramie.org.
Okay.
There you go. Do it, you guys.
albanylodge.com.
Perfect. Okay. Cool. Was there any last points that you guys wanted to
mention? You should have got up here sooner.
Yeah, excited to see all you listeners here in the next year for sure.
Well, next time we come, we'll bring a posse with us or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so one thing that I did not tell you about prior is, so at the end of every single one of our episodes, we do end of podcast question for the listeners and viewers, right? So, and they can comment their answers on YouTube, and then we clip it for like TikTok and Instagram and stuff. So is there something that you would specifically like to ask the listeners and viewers that could pertain to like all the tourism travel stuff? It could be about snowmobiling. It could be something super specific. It could be very broad. But what's something that you would like to ask everybody tuning in?
Did you know anything about Albany County before listening to this podcast?
Perfect. Good question.
Well, of course they did. I was on the podcast.
I'm wondering if they learned something. I want them to learn something, you know.
Yeah. Good question. Listeners, answer in the comments below. David, do you want to throw one in the ring?
Wow. So, you know, I threw one out last at Heydays.
You threw a really good one out.
Yeah, about the women. Yeah. I just want to comment on that. And then the question would be is, why didn't the guys bring more women, right? and I say that, you know, because we said, why aren't more women involved in the sport? So we had a women's ride.
Yep.
Up here this winter. Mm-hmm. And that women's ride, you know, as you guys know or may not have known, I lost my wife, Trixie. And so we did it for the Trixie Strong Foundation. We created a foundation for her. So that's going to be the question. If you haven't heard of the foundation, we want to make sure that you start looking for it. And all those proceeds went to colon cancer and to help people get women only specifically to get colon cancer. But we actually had such a great turnout for those women coming to ride. Half of them had never ridden a snow machine before.
Wow.
The others had only ridden on trail and never been any backcountry.
Okay.
So Tubi, Climb, and Polaris all came out. We had nothing but women instructors.
Wow.
And they took 76 riders out that had
like
never...
At one time or like over the course of the weekend?
We took them in, just one day. We took them out in groups. And so we had five different women guides that took them out and got them out there and got them involved in snow. And every one of them have already requested as to when the date is for next year. So, guys, your question again, same as last year.
Yeah. Yep.
Why haven't you got your wife involved or your girlfriend or significant other involved in women's riding in snowmobiling?
Yep.
So here's your opportunity. So do you plan on coming this year?
There we go. Love it. Answer below. No, that's good. Good question. that's interesting because since you were on, we've more than doubled with our listeners and viewership and stuff.
Awesome.
And so we've got a lot of new eyes and ears and stuff. And then I've also, we've brought on, our last two episodes actually were girls, local riders and stuff. So we're expanding on the front too of having females on the podcast to share their story and their experiences of, you know, dealing with the gear and the cold and, you know, they're getting their take on it so that we can help push that, that message as well. And also, this may not be in the rest of the show, but, having, you know, a female on the podcast, it brings a lot of male attention,
yes,
obviously. Right. So it just
surprise care.
I mean, it's just, you know, the numbers don't lie. When you put up a post and you tag a guy, and then you can see how many clicks there is, and then you tag a girl that's in the video, you can see how many clicks there are, right? So I just want to make that point too, that we're you know, hedging that and expanding that on this side too with the show and whatnot. So I think that's a great
question. Would tell you, so we had Tori Billings was one of our guides for the women's ride, and she actually helped us go find all of these other women. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you guys, so I was a tail gunner. So we had guys that followed behind them, and that was just it. We weren't allowed to do anything except for help them get unstuck.
Mm-hmm.
when they got, there was a lot too.
Yeah,
but that's okay. They learned. They had such a blast. But I would tell you, those women, holy cow. I mean, I thought Tori was a good rider, and she's a phenomenal rider. By the way, she actually had her baby.
Yep.
So she's a mama now.
Yep.
These other women that guided, holy cow, I'll put them up against another guy any day because they were absolutely phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And I think they gave them the women that were riding for the first time, it gave them that credibility that they didn't think that they could ride that good. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to see that expand massively as the show's going through. So it's good for you that you're actually getting the women on. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can get you here in the winter to actually run and we do another podcast, we'll get them in at the same time and have them speak come in and actually speak on it.
So
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I love that concept. I think it's super important. And I think a good element too, that like, if a new writer can learn, new female writer can learn from another female, they can communicate, I feel, probably better than a male can, right? Less intimidated or whatever the case may be. And it's just, once you can get to the point of understanding how the sled works and making the sled work for you and, you know, how to go about that and being taught by an expert like Tori, I mean, can instantly, you know, increase your confidence.
Well, here's what I've heard from the women that have tried to learn from their significant other, their spouses.
I'm about to agree with
them. is that the women taught it so much better and they were less aggravated, like no aggravation whatsoever, mm-hmm. because of the way the husband would get frustrated so quickly with trying to teach them how to do it. Mm-hmm. And when they were riding with their female guides and them teaching, night and day difference, and they learn so much more than what their husband could ever teach them.
Right.
And so they're, to that point, it's a lot of validity to what you were saying about a woman teaching a woman, especially, and I think it's not so much that a man can't do it, it just cannot be that significant other.
Totally
because there's other
agree.
Emotion in there on that.
It's super easy. What are you doing? It's super easy.
Well, and you know, not that all, that it's always necessarily negative with a significant other, but I think that that can create two different experiences that either make or break the continuing of writing for
absolutely.
For the girl. Yeah, 100%. That was, really good stuff.
I was lucky I had the entire family with me.
Yeah.
There was girls in there too.
Otherwise, he may not have came back. She might have been married right now.
That's funny. Well, cool. I think we'll go ahead and wrap up this episode. Okay. I appreciate you guys tuning in and jumping on. Thank you very much. And to all the listeners and viewers, thank you guys for tuning in and watching as well. Make sure you check us out on all the audio platforms, all of our social platforms at SledSend, and be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. And I think it's maybe time to go play, and we'll shoot some more episodes tomorrow.
There you go.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Living life with no regrets. I can't design her when I get dressed. Hey. Summertime on winter fresh. Fresh. I put her legs behind her head. Night night she gonna bed. Bye bye. Every day it's a new test. I just keep chasing these chicks. Living life with no
Hey guys, welcome to Sled Talk. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I would like to take a second of your time and introduce this season's title sponsor is Bikeman Performance. So they've decided to jump on board and help push the podcast. And if you're unaware, Bikeman is the elite level when it comes to aftermarket performance parts on your sled. So be sure to check out their site, link in the description. And without further ado, let's jump into the show.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in, whether you're listening on the podcast platforms or you are on our YouTube channel watching us. Again, appreciate you guys being here. So if you are watching this, you can tell that we are in a little bit different of a setup, no longer in the office studio. We are currently here in Albany Lodge over in Wyoming and have a couple guests, returning guests. David, owner of Albany Lodge, welcome back on. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
And the new guest, Kira.
Hey.
Welcome on. How are you?
Thank you. Good. Happy to be here.
Good. I'm glad you guys are here. So let's just jump right into it. So Kira, I will let you kind of take the reins on, you know, before we jumped on, we were kind of talking about the flow and introduction and stuff. So why don't you give the listeners and viewers and myself a little bit of a backstory from, you know, who you are, introduction to yourself, where you're from, what you do, all that good stuff.
Sure. Yeah. My name's Kira. I'm originally from California. The northern part, I should say. I grew up in a suburban area where quite literally nothing ever happened. And if somebody fell off their bike, it was in the paper kind of a thing. Mm. I went to school up there. I went to college at Chico State. And I fell in love with the idea of going into the USDA.
Okay.
So I ended up getting a job right out of college in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Working
places.
For the USDA, yeah. Okay. And before I moved out there, I had a huge loss in my family. And I feel like that was kind of an escape, too. So I picked the furthest one I could, and that ended up being Wyoming. And every weekend, we went out and did stuff, and we had time off. And I slowly fell in love with the state.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I ended up started working for the state tourism office. And trying to get people to experience what I was experiencing.
Okay.
And then I found myself working now for Visit Laramie, the Albany County Tourism Board, as the Strategic Partnerships Manager. So
nice.
Happy where I landed, for sure.
Nice. Okay. So you live in Laramie then, too?
I live in between Cheyenne and Laramie in a place called Granite Canyon, where it's windy but beautiful and it's stunning.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Right by Vitavu.
So this Visit Laramie, is this what led to the introduction between the two of you, or how did you guys meet?
Yeah, very much so. So I'm actually the chairman of the board for the Albany County Tourism, and when I met Kara for the very first time, she actually came in and she was working for the state, and that's where we made our first acquaintance. And then we got lucky and was able to snag her and bring her on board.
There you go. So let's go into that. Like, what all does that entail? What does that look like?
For the Albany County Tourism?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So essentially, Albany County Tourism, their primary purpose is to drive traffic into Albany County holistically. So not just Albany, but Albany County itself, which covers Laramie and the University of Wyoming and all the small communities in and around this area, and really kind of just doing an outreach to people away from Wyoming or even in Wyoming to mm-hmm. say, hey, look at this great area within Wyoming. Everybody's original thought process is, oh, okay, well, it's Yellowstone. That's where we need to go.
Sure.
We need to go to the Tetons. But you have this massive, you know, snowy mountain range here. And for snowmobilers, they know it is the best ever,
mm-hmm.
some of the best snow that there is in the country. And you're able to see what this community and what this county really has to offer. And so it is a volunteer position. It takes up a lot of time.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I understand.
But it's really about helping drive traffic and marketing to really kind of tell people, look at this great area within the state of Wyoming mm-hmm. that a lot of people just happen to just drive right by and never stop. And for you, this is your first time here and seeing this,
mm-hmm.
you can see the beauty of what this has to offer. And so our job is to really kind of just say, hey, take a look at what we have to offer.
Mm-hmm. What's the most challenging part of that? Is it capturing it and being able to showcase that stuff to a demographic of people, or what's the most challenging aspect of it?
You know, I think it's a mixture of both, right? So I think you have a group of people that literally just drive by and not think anything about it. And so it's about marketing to them prior to their making that drive into Yellowstone.
Right.
And I think the other part is really kind of just the outreach and what we do and how we actually say it. And there's so many different demographics that drive through this area or that actually come to this area. It's finding those individuals and finding the right media that can actually talk to them.
Yeah.
That's the
speaking their language.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why you're here.
Yeah. 100%. Absolutely. So what take us through, Kira, your like day-to-day operations with that involvement of...
Yeah, sure. So when I initially started, I was working a lot at the front desk. So I was kind of hands-on, boots on the ground, getting the visitors in. And a lot of times they were coming in saying, hey, I'm here for X amount of time. What can I do? So a lot of what I was doing was trying to show them what this area, Albany County, has. Mm-hmm. Of course, I would talk about the scenic byway, the historic territorial prison, Albany Lodge, places to go, things to do, and a lot of outdoor rec opportunities. So that was kind of the beginning stages, and it kind of formed into this me working more with partners. When I say partners, I mean business owners like David and other people around Albany County, and I work with them as a partnership opportunity to get them out there, market them better, and help them out as much as we can. And also just work together to showcase Albany County as a whole. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm doing a lot with the direct businesses.
Okay, nice. So we'll talk about the lodge in a little bit. But so outside of Albany Lodge, what's for you, each of you personally, like what is your favorite outdoor recreational activity within the county that you guys...
So do you want summer or do you want winter?
I was going to ask.
I should have known. Let's do both.
Yeah. I think for me in the summer, I love grabbing one of our UTVs, going up and over the top of the mountain and going fly fishing in the North Platte.
Oof. That's tough to beat.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, when you get down there, the scenery that you see, the wildlife that you go through there and the fishing, I mean, it's blue ribbon fly fishing, the North Platte is. And it's just, you can't, once you hook into one of those brown trout, That's the creme de creme right there.
Yeah, got it. And winter?
Snowmobiling. I mean, come on, really? I mean, you really had to ask that question of me?
I mean, this is a snowmobiling podcast, so.
There's nothing better than being able to jump on a sled, and that's advantages of being in the owner here, you know? Yep. Everybody, the sleds go out, and all of a sudden, oh, well, look, there's a brand new Chaos sitting right there. Mm. It's only got 20 miles on it.
Yeah.
I think I need to break it in a little bit more, you know, and you hop on and you go play for a half a day and you come back and you get undressed and you go to work. So for me, it's a snowmobiling. I mean, it's just, it's so unbelievably awesome up here. Mm-hmm. We had 486 inches of snow this past winter.
That's what you were saying.
It was hero snow. It was just epic powder everywhere. Yep. And it was just unbelievable the amount of snow we had. So it was a great year. Very enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll get to you in a second. Yeah. I want to go a little bit deeper on that. So specifically with the lodge here and an amazing snow year and that much snow, what's kind of like your average client that's coming to come ride here? Is it a lot of people within Wyoming? Is it people that are traveling really far out of state to come right here? What's like the demographic?
Yeah, so, you know, we'll get the locals that will drive up and just be dayers. So sure. They'll grab a beer here or something. This is a launching point. So the trails, it's right in, right out for the lodge.
Okay.
So you don't have to trailer. Once you trailer in here, that's it. You stop, you're done. So locals will come in, park across the street. They'll jump in and actually just take off on their snow machines, go ride all day long, come back, grab dinner, load up their machines, and go back home. The majority of our customers, 60% of them, come from the Midwest.
Yeah.
And this is one of the first places that they actually can get to. And again, the snow is epic every year. Even in a bad snow year, it's better than anybody else's.
Sure.
And they come here and they'll stay here 4 or 5 days and they'll go out and literally ride every day. So once they unload their machines or rent machines from us, everything's ride in, ride out. They ride out of here, get on the trail, and they start finding meadow somewhere.
Nice. And so once those people that are coming maybe for the first time, what are you seeing for repeat clients? Like people coming back just because they get here and they're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, they continue to come back.
Okay.
So if you're not booking 6 months to a year in advance, you're not getting in.
Wow.
So 14 cabins, 9 hotel rooms, and once they start doing it, obviously, they just keep coming back. Yeah. We've even had people, believe it or not, we have a customer that came here for the very first time 4 years ago from Florida, Miami.
Wow.
Was here in the summer, convinced them they need to come back in the winter. They came back in the winter. They've been back twice every winter since then.
Wow.
And they're from Florida.
Awesome. Yeah.
They don't get any snow.
Yeah.
They don't have any gear.
Yeah.
But they come back literally every single year, at least two times, and they're bringing new people in. So they're actually bringing people into the sport that has never been in the sport before.
That's
just because of what they experienced up
there. Mm-hmm. That's nice. That's exciting. So, Kira, to you, same question with winter and summer. What are your
I love fishing. I got to be with David on that. I can't fly fish. I'm a little bobber kind of gal, but I love fishing up here.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And my husband, that's how he got me, you guys, was he showed me UTVs for the first time, took me up the mountain. I got to see the moose and all the wildlife up there. Took me to, of course, our secret fishing spot.
Oh, yeah.
And just fell in love with it. I love, love, love fishing up here in the summer.
Mm.
Yeah, there's no comparison.
Sure.
Winter, I am sorry to copy you, David, but it is snowmobiling because I grew up in California, and yeah, I can go to Tahoe and stuff, but I never got the snow like we get up here, and it's totally open and free. You can go wherever you want. It's amazing, and of course, my husband raced Rimshaw, so he was able to kind of show me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still on a mountain max, but
hey, that's all
right. I love it. I really, really love it. It's pretty gorgeous up here.
Yeah. So going in on that a little bit, talk about the beginning of your introduction to snowmobiling. How were you introduced to it? When did it start and how did it become?
So my family is they bleed blue. They're all Yamaha through and through. Cousins were on the Yamaha race team. My husband was on the Yamaha race team. And when we were dating, he took me into his parents' barn. They've got this big poster of somebody snowmobiling up Jackson Hole Mountain, you know, doing the hill climb. And I was like, oh, cool. What magazine is that from? They're like, that's Colton. That's your husband. I was like, what? Well, at the time, boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I was shocked. And he was like, yeah, have you ever done it before? He was trying to ask me all these questions. And I'm like, no, I've surfed.
Close.
And he was like, no, this is totally different. And when he took me out, it was that next winter, I went with the whole family. And that was really cool. The entire family does it together. The mom, the dad, the siblings, the siblings' significant others. You know, everyone was out there. And initially we were doing trail rides up here, but you don't have to stay on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I kind of got, you know, good enough, comfortable enough.
Got the confidence.
They started taking me off the trail and going through the trees. And yeah, that's kind of how it grew. And that love has obviously grown. Mm-hmm. But it's been incredible being able to not only go with family and friends, but then meet people like David who are kind of pushing the sport because it's so fun. Even for the new people that haven't done it before, you know, getting on it for a first time, it's so fun.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think it's exciting, too, that you're out here doing all of these things that directly correlate with your job, too.
Right. Which, right?
And so, it's got to be a lot easier for you to be able to express to new people, other people in Wyoming that are unaware or out-of-staters, for you to, literally speak through the heart to these types of people to come do these types of activities because you are obsessed with it yourself. And
definitely.
So that's a...
Absolutely. Sure. And to touch on your guys' point, people think when they think of Wyoming, they think of Yellowstone, they think of Grand Teton. There's so much more to the state than just that. And I feel like getting these boots on the ground and being able to talk to the visitors, we have a direct impact on what they're going to see and what they're going to experience. And the moment they see this place and the mountains here, they'll come back.
Yeah. You had mentioned a prison or a museum?
The Territorial Prison. It's a state historic site. It's in Laramie. That is a huge, huge place for history buffs, too.
Okay.
It's the one penitentiary that housed Butch Cassidy from the Wild Bunch Gang.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. So they got a whole museum about it. It's a walking tour. So you get to walk through on your own. You get a little card that has actually a prisoner's picture that was there. And you get to kind of walk around and see what they experienced and check out the museum. It's really cool.
Hmm. How far is that from right here?
Literally from doorstep to doorstep, less than 32 miles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So you're literally in Laramie. When you get into Laramie, you're literally cutting off. And when you cut off to head up here to the lodge, the prison's sitting right there.
Wow. That's interesting. Huh. Do you know when it started and when it ended or
I'm rusty on the years. I know it was an 1800s.
Wow, as chairman of the board, I'm really kind of concerned here that one of our tourism people.
Yeah, I'm rusty on the years. I know. I mean, this is when they were having them make brooms, yeah. right, as a job.
I want to say it's 1824, if I'm not mistaken.
I said 1800s, David. I had it.
Yeah, there's a wide 100-year gap in there somewhere, but
yeah, I believe it was 1824 when it was actually opened up, and so at that point in time, you know, Wyoming was the Wild West.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was, I mean, the gunfights, everybody coming in from Kansas and those different places as they were exploring out here. There was cattle rustling going on, and that's really what the prison was for. That's what it was about.
That's right.
And I think the key thing is when you think about it, when they say territory, a territory prison was huge, and it would. At that point in stage, it would encompass a large portion of the entire state of Wyoming. It wasn't just a small little segment of, Albany County. It was a territory, and those territories were massive. And so you would send the sheriffs out and the marshals, and they would go out and collect these prisoners or these outlaws and bring them back to this territory prison. So there's a lot of history there. That's very, very unique.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. So earlier when we were outside, you were kind of talking about taking us up to a spot that was a little mine camp.
And yeah, the Queen Mine.
So is there a lot of like historical stuff with a lot of mining stuff around here that's visitation stuff
there
for
is
tourists?
There is a ton of stuff. On the mountain itself, as you're getting up in there, there's old towns that used to be, and unfortunately we had a fire 3 years ago. There was a town that the Forest Service actually gave us permission to actually take guided tours back into, and there was 13 buildings that were in there. Still had the sod roofs on it, the troughs for the horses, and unfortunately when the fire came through, it actually burned all that history down. There used to be an old hotel that set into what we call Lake Creek.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hope you're enjoying the show so far. Just want to take a quick second to introduce another one of this year's sponsors. We got RSI, so whether you need handlebars or grips, seat covers, controls, etc., doesn't matter. Use Sledson 2023 at checkout for 15% off your next order.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, great snowmobiling in Lake Creek.
Okay.
Big, huge meadows, lots of powder. Nice. Nobody ever goes there.
Got it.
Just delete that part.
Don't be listening to it.
But there was an old two-story hotel there, and it serviced the railroad. It serviced the miners that in the area, serviced the loggers, and it was a brothel. It was a whorehouse.
Yeah.
And so the history behind it, you literally, and it was built so well, and actually the railroad workers that went through there would actually bring in some of the railroad ties and rebuild part of the building as the wood got bad, just to keep it as a brothel there for a long period of time, because they were essentially building a railroad from Laramie all the way up over the top of the mountain, and it was eventually going to end up in Walden, and then Walden into Denver itself.
Okay.
Railroad never made it, but the railroad workers wanted that brothel there, so as old pieces of wood would go down, they would bring in railroad ties. And so when the fire came through, it burned everything down. And so now the only thing that's left is there is an old Model T Ford.
Well,
just the frame. So you can see it, you can know where it's at, but to be able to, when it's still there before the fire, you could literally walk all the way through the entire building. And it was really cool to know the history behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. What were they most commonly mining for?
Gold.
Gold?
Gold, platinum, palladium. It's really heavily mineraled through here. Mm-hmm. So there's mine sites everywhere. A little town called Keystone used to be a World War II prisoner of war camp.
Really?
So they would bring, that's why we have such a big German population in and around this area. So they bring the nonviolent or non-threatening prisoners up into this area, and they would put them into Keystone, and they made them work on the railroad. And so they were doing that kind of stuff, and some of those buildings are still there. Matter of fact, there's one building in there that used to be the nurse's office, and I had the privilege of being able to go in, and you could open up the Cardex, which was the old Dewey Decimal System. You know, if you're my age, you know what that is. I know you two wouldn't understand that part, but it used to be when you go into a library, you'd pull out this big drawer, and in there you would go alphabetically, and in there would be these little index cards. And on index cards, if you had a broken bone or a broken femur, the nurse could actually go into femur under the F thing and pull it up, and here's the notes of what she needed to do to actually fix the broken leg.
Oh, geez. Wow.
And so that was still there today. Literally, I think 3 years ago, we did a chili cook-off that I was a judge on, and so the family who owns it took me in and showed me everything that was still there from the nurse's office, which was just, it was just epic.
That's
Literally, cool. It was just unbelievable, that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of history in and around the area. There's a lot of old mines in and around the area. Mm-hmm. Some of the mines have some just really unique history to them as well.
Yeah. Hmm. That's interesting. Kira, let's talk a little bit specifically about like what the town of Laramie has to offer.
Oh, of course. So downtown Laramie, it's a different feel than I think what some people from the big cities coming through are expecting. Mm-hmm. There's not like a Target, right? It's right. Kind of more mom and pop shops. Yes. And that I think is a whole other lure, and there's magic in that. Mm-hmm. You go in and there's the Sugar Mouse Cupcake House. She's from London, and some of her proceeds go to help children in Cambodia with human trafficking. Mm-hmm. She's incredible. She's right next door to the Women's History House, which is a museum about the women's history here in Wyoming. Lots of amazing, amazing stuff about that here in Wyoming. Mm-hmm. We had Louisa Swain. She was the first woman voter with the same rights as men here in the United States. So that was really incredible. There's a statue of her right outside. There's the leather shop called The Range. I'm wearing their hat right now. It's very, very used. Mm-hmm. I love it. But you can go in there and they actually make the leather items in front of you. You can watch cool. and see how okay. they're doing it. There's all sorts of stuff in there, bags, wallets, belts. It's incredible. We have like the Martindale's Western store. So for those people who want to come through and look for kind of the Western lore, that's mm-hmm. definitely there. And I mean, there's all sorts of stuff. There's so many to even list.
Sure. You got Bond's Brewery, who won world.
Yes.
Brewing there. And we have their beer here on tap. We were actually there. One of their first retail, customer to actually be able to pour beer for them. Wow. And Jay and Mallory Bond are they're just a great couple, young. They're in their early 30s. But boy, does he ever make a good beer. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Their beers are just stellar. So he's got a distillery right there. He's now starting to get it across the U.S. in different areas, and just amazing stuff. Yeah. You start looking around the town and you start getting through to a lot of these small mom and pop shops and the food. We had Guy Ferrari come in, and he did three different restaurants here for, what is it?
Six.
Oh, he did six.
There
I'm sorry.
There were six, including a food truck.
Yeah.
Double Dove's Wings. Yeah, wow. it's incredible.
Some really good food down there, so very unique. And it's not chain restaurants. They're all mom and pop restaurants. So
that's the best.
And they just kick out some really good food. So you're never lacking in anything that you do when you go down there. The food is good. The shops are really good. And, you know, anybody who likes the outdoors, they come up in this area, they're going to get a treat.
Yeah. Because Laramie is only how far from the lodge? Literally right here?
32 miles.
Okay.
So it's a 30-minute drive, 30, 35-minute drive from right here at the lodge.
That's not bad at all.
No.
To be in this country. Okay. Jeff, are we okay on time?
Everything?
Okay. Is there anything with your guys' involvement with all this tourism stuff that maybe I'm obviously unaware of, and so I lack stock of knowledge on maybe certain questions, but do you think that there's some things that we should highlight for the listeners and viewers that is worth them knowing that maybe we haven't already touched on?
It took us too long to get you here.
I know. We wanted to come this winter, but we couldn't make it happen.
Yeah, I think the big thing for the listeners as they start going through this, you know, if they look on the map, they'll see Albany sitting there, and they'll look at the lodge, and they'll see Laramie, and they're like, oh, well, you know, it's out in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. How do I even get there? You could fly into Denver and be here in the lodge in 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yep. Wow. Okay.
And that's bad traffic. Bad. That's everything. And you're literally on interstate the majority of the way. So you're in a car and you're here. Matter of fact, we were, you know, talking about the guys from Florida. That's exactly what they do. They don't drive. Mm-hmm. They fly into Denver. They rent a vehicle and they drive up here. And in 2 hours and 45 minutes, they're here. Yeah. And literally when they get here, they usually plan their trip in enough time to get here, get in a machine and go ride somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they come back and then they'll eat and unpack and do all that kind of stuff. So I think for most people, we're very accessible. Mm-hmm. And I think most people don't realize that it's actually here. Even the folks that are driving up into Jackson Hole and in that area, they literally drive by and don't realize how good of an area this really is. And so I think that's the big thing that the listeners need to look at. Mm-hmm. Is that there's a lot of stuff in and around this area.
Yep.
Just stop. And once you stop, I guarantee you don't go back. We have a lot of people that go up to Togedy and stuff like that. that literally stopped going to Togedy just because the riding is better here and service is better here and they've got more to do and they're not so packed in and crowded up like right. Togedy is.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to go pretty far into that on another episode tomorrow. After, I mean, just after we, you know, dissect and being here this whole weekend and, right. and getting to check all of it out. And, you know, you were on last season at Hay Days and shared a ton. But then now being here this weekend, we get to go do the stuff. Yeah. So we'll go pretty deep on a lot of that stuff tomorrow.
Sweet.
As well. Was there anything else that you wanted to share? Shine
yeah,
some light
I mean,
on?
I think making a note that Highway 130, granted, I know it's closed sometimes, especially during the winter. But Highway 130 is a scenic byway. It's a Snowy Range scenic byway. Even if you were going to, hey, you know, I rode today or rode UTVs today, I kind of want to go check out, see the forest. Mm-hmm. It's stunning. You can drive all the way through. It's gorgeous, and it's yeah. it's not, it does not take very long to get through. It's like 35 minutes to get all the way to the end okay. of that.
Yeah. So. And it's a national scenic byway. It's just not a Wyoming scenic byway. Mm-hmm. It is a national scenic byway. And when you get up there and you start looking at Mirror Lake, and mm-hmm. rightfully named, when you look at it, you're literally, you'll see pictures around the lodge here that literally you can't tell what is the lake and what is the actual mountain itself when you're looking at the picture yeah, because sure. of the way the reflection is. It is literally stunningly gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Water being so crystal clear. Anybody who lives in the Midwest or in that area, your water's muddy, you're brown. This water is so perfectly clear and so pure coming off the mountains at this elevation. That it is, it's just awe-inspiring. Mm-hmm.
Great so, fishing too.
Yeah, yeah, great fishing. Great fishing.
Nice.
Yeah, and we got the wildlife here. I mean, you have bear, you have moose, you have elk. We have new pack of wolves that has slowly migrated mm-hmm. down from mm-hmm. Yellowstone down to this area. Mm-hmm. So it's a pack of 13, and then there's a alpha female and an alpha male that still have not met up yet. They're just kind of roaming around. They broke away from the pack, and the biologists in and around the area think they're going to actually meet up and start a whole other pack right here in this area.
Interesting.
So you got it. Just about any type of wildlife. We have a lot of people yep. that come up and say, "I want to go see a moof," and you go, "Or a moose, moof." You know what a moof is, right?
I don't know if I've ever seen one of those. Before,
only in Wyoming.
Yeah, it's Bullwinkle's friend. but they want to see a moose for the very first time. Yep. And you, literally being up here and you know where everything's at, you let it go, okay, well, you take this trail here, and when you get to the spot, just stop. Mm-hmm. Right. And they're going to be right there in that area. Or if you want to see the bighorn sheep, okay, hey, you head over to the North Platte, stop. They're right here in this mm-hmm. area. Elk are a little harder to find in the summertime, but the wildlife here is just so abundant. You can't go up on the mountain without seeing a bunch of wildlife.
Yeah. That's true. And I do want to say, too, just coming from a very big state that's really populated, one of the incredible things about this mountain range, there's very few places I would say in the world where you can go in the middle of the forest and not hear anybody else. And yeah. that is one of the magical points of this place. I mean, sure. all you hear is the forest, and that's hard to find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So with all the wildlife and stuff, do you guys actually do outfitting for hunters?
Yeah, yeah.
And,
so we have, we
fishers
have a,
too.
Yeah, or? We sure do. So okay. we've got a partnership with Free Flow, which is a guide service that we now run out of here. We have our outfitters and guides license for the Medicine Bow National Forest, which, by the way, size wise is over 2 million acres, so it's huge.
Yeah.
So we now have that guide service, so we're able to take people both for hunting as well as for fishing anywhere within the Medicine Bow National Forest. And a great guide. We've had people, he pulled out a 22-inch brown the other day, which was just it was massive. Wow. The guy went and literally they rented a machine. We take him up in the machine, got him up into some of the creeks in some of the area, and they actually walked out with 12 fish.
Wow.
So
that's exciting.
It was well worth it. They had a good time.
Sure.
Matter of fact, he had such a good time, he stayed the next day, rented a machine another day, and took back off on the mountain to go take his wife up there. So
that's so cool. There's just, you have so many options of so many different things
exactly.
right here.
Exactly. Yeah, so the hunting and fishing is there, mm-hmm. As well as guide service on the machines. If somebody doesn't want to go hunting or fishing, we can get them up on the mountain, let them see what they want to see.
Yeah. Wow. That's exciting. Okay. So for all of the listeners and viewers that maybe want to find some more information, about everything that we just discussed, do you guys have a website to where do we need to send their
attention?
Is it
laramie.org?
Okay. There you go.
Do and it, then you guys.
AlbanyLodge.com.
Perfect. Okay. Cool. Was there any last points that you guys wanted to
Nope, just mentioned. You should have got up here sooner.
Yeah, excited to see all you listeners here the next year for sure.
Well, next time we come, we'll bring a posse with us or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so one thing that I did not tell you about prior is, so at the end of every single one of our episodes, we do end of podcast question.
Sure.
For the listeners and viewers, right? So, and they can comment their answers on YouTube, and then we clip it for like TikTok and Instagram and stuff. So is there something that you would specifically like to ask the listeners and viewers that could pertain to like all the tourism travel stuff? It could be about snowmobiling. It could be something super specific. It could be very broad. But what's something that you would like to ask everybody tuning in?
Did you know anything about Albany County before listening to this podcast?
Perfect. Good question.
Well, of course they did. I was on the podcast.
I'm wondering if they learned something. I want them to learn something. You know.
Yeah. Good question. Listeners, answer in the comments below. David, do you want to throw one in the ring?
Wow. So, you know, I threw one out last at Heydays.
You threw a really good one out.
Yeah, about the women. Yeah. I just want to comment on that. And then the question would be is, why didn't the guys bring more women, right? and I say that, you know, because we said, why aren't more women involved in the sport? So we had a women's ride.
Yep.
Up here this winter. Mm-hmm. And that women's ride, you know, as you guys know or may not have known, I lost my wife, Trixie. And so we did it for the Trixie Strong Foundation. We created a foundation for her. So that's going to be the question. If you haven't heard of the foundation, we want to make sure that you start looking for it. And all those proceeds went to colon cancer and to help people get women only specifically to get colon cancer. But we actually had such a great turnout for those women coming to ride. Half of them had never ridden a snow machine before.
Wow.
The others had only ridden on trail and never been any backcountry.
Okay.
So Tubi, Climb, and Polaris all came out. We had nothing but women instructors.
Wow.
And they took 76 riders out that had
like
never...
at one time or like over the course of the weekend?
We took them at, just one day. We took them out in groups. Wow. And so we had five different women guides that took them out and got them out there and got them involved in snow. And every one of them have already requested as to when the date is for next year. So, guys, your question again, same as last year.
Yeah. Yep.
Why haven't you got your wife involved or your girlfriend or significant other involved in women's riding in snowmobiling?
Yep.
So here's your opportunity. So do you plan on coming this year?
There we go. Love it. Answer below. No, that's good. Good question. yeah, that's interesting because, since you were on, we've more than doubled with our listeners and viewership and stuff.
Awesome.
And so we've got a lot of new eyes and ears and stuff. And then I've also, we've brought on, our last two episodes actually were girls, local, riders and stuff. So we're expanding on the front too of awesome. having females, on the podcast to share their story and their experiences of, you know, dealing with the gear and the cold and, you know, they're getting their take on it so that we can help push that, that message as well. And also, this may not be in the rest of the show, but, having, you know, a female on the podcast, it brings a lot of male attention,
yes,
obviously. Right. So it just,
surprise care.
I mean, it's just, you know, the numbers don't lie when you put up a post and you tag a guy and then you can see how many clicks there is. And then you tag a girl that's in the video. You can see how many clicks there are. Right. So I just want to make that point too, that we're, you know, hedging that and expanding that on this side too, with the show and whatnot. So I think that's a great question.
Would tell you, so we had Tori Billings was one of our guides for the women's ride. And she actually helped us go find all of these other women. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you guys, so I was a tail gunner. So we had guys that followed behind them, and that was just it. We weren't allowed to do anything except for help them get unstuck.
Mm-hmm.
when they got, there was a lot too.
Yeah,
but that's okay. They learned they had such a blast. But I would tell you, those women, holy cow. I mean, I thought Tori was a good rider, and she's a phenomenal rider. By the way, she actually had her baby.
Yep.
So she's a mama now.
Yep.
But these other women that guided, holy cow. I'll put them up against another guy any day because they were absolutely phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And I think they gave them the women that were riding for the first time, it gave them that credibility that they didn't think that they could ride that good. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to see that expand massively as it starts going through. So it's good for you that you're actually getting the women on. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can get you here in the winter to actually run and we do another podcast, we'll get them in at the same time and have them come in and actually speak on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that concept. I think it's super important. And I think a good element too, that like, if a new rider can learn, new female rider can learn from another female, they can communicate, I feel, probably better than a male can, right?
Yeah.
Less intimidated or whatever the case may be. And it's just, once you can get to the point of understanding how the sled works and making the sled work for you and, you know, how to go about that, and being taught by an expert like Tori, can instantly, you know, increase your confidence.
Well, here's what I've heard from the women that have tried to learn from their significant other, their spouses.
I'm about to agree with
it. Is that the women taught it so much better, and they were less aggravated, like no aggravation whatsoever, mm-hmm. because of the way the husband would get frustrated so quickly with trying to teach them how to do it. Mm-hmm. And when they were riding with their female guides and them teaching, it's night and day difference, and they learn so much more than what their husband could ever teach them.
Right.
And so they're, to that point, it's a lot of validity to what you were saying about a woman teaching a woman, especially, and I think it's not so much that a man can't do it, it just cannot be that significant other.
Totally
because there's other emotion
agree.
In there on that.
It's super easy. What are you doing? It's super easy.
Well, and you know, not that all, that it's always necessarily negative with a significant other, but I think that that can create two different experiences that either make or break the continuing of riding for
absolutely.
For the girl. Yeah, 100%. That was, really good stuff.
I was lucky I had the entire family with me.
Yeah.
There was girls in there too.
Otherwise, he may not have came back. She might have been married right now.
It's true. Yeah. That's funny. Well, cool. I think we'll go ahead and wrap up this episode. Okay. I appreciate you guys tuning in and jumping on. Thank you very much. And to all the listeners and viewers, thank you guys for tuning in and watching as well. Make sure you check us out on all the audio platforms, all of our social platforms at SledSend, and be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. And I think it's maybe time to go play, and we'll shoot some more episodes tomorrow.
There you go.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
I came on the Patek, living life with no regrets. I can't design her when I get dressed. Hey. Summertime on winter fresh. I put her legs behind her head. Night, she gonna bed. Bye-bye. Every day it's a new test. I just keep chasing these chicks.